This is the Car Dealer Podcast driven by CarGurus. You want the best return for your advertising budgets, and CarGurus Piston Heads are focused on the same goal. With them, you have access to millions of monthly shoppers across both sites. Connect with in-market high-quality buyers today and turbocharge your digital forecourt. For more information, visit dealerpackages.cargurus.co.uk and schedule a demo with their team. That's dealerpackages.cargurus.co.uk and tell them we sent you. Welcome back to the Car Dealer Podcast. If you haven't listened before, we pick our favourite stories of the week and ask an industry guest to choose whose were best. Welcome back to James Baggett from Car Dealer, who will be choosing the stories with me today. How are you, James?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me back.
Good.
I'm glad I'm allowed back on.
How many weeks has it been since you were last here?
I'm not sure. I've been very busy.
A lot. This week's guest is Motorway Sales Director James Bush. Welcome to the show, James.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. Delighted to be here.
How is everything going at Motorway at the moment?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, I mean, we've been incredibly busy. We're going through a period of rapid growth right now. So it's been really good. Yeah, I mean, we've expanded in terms of like sales, inquiries and headcount in the team. So yeah, it's been a really, really busy time, but enjoying every minute of it at the moment.
Brilliant.
It's a bit of a weird time, isn't it, at the moment for used cars? We've got a number of the stories that I've picked are on that theme, and I'm sure we'll go into that shortly. But are dealers buying as much as they were in the last couple of months? I've heard from a number of dealers that they're pulling back at the moment. Some of the big car supermarket groups have said that they're not buying quite as much as they were before. Are you seeing that on your platform?
It's a real mix at the minute, James. Yeah, we've got some of our buyers are they're kind of like holding back at the minute. You know, they're a bit worried about potentially buying stock that they may be kind of like stuck with for too long. I know you guys did a story on that recently about not wanting to pay too much when you had a chat with Darren recently at CAT. So we've got some buyers that are kind of holding back, being a bit cautious. But on the flip side, we've got other buyers that they're busier than ever. They're busier with us than ever. They're busier retailing than ever. So, yeah, I would say on the car supermarket front, we've got some great buyers in that area that seem to be doing really well. So yeah, it's a very mixed signal. And everyone you speak to has got kind of like slightly different story. Even just over Easter, for example, just as a small snippet there, you know, we had some buyers saying that they hardly had any inquiries at all. And others that were literally falling over themselves on the Tuesday to get stocked up again.
It's strange, isn't it, at the moment? I just think, I mean, anecdotally, the people I'm chatting to are in exactly that same camp, as in there isn't a common theme at the moment. It depends where they are and what sort of business they're running. I'm a little bit concerned at the moment about the cost of living starting to have an impact on buying, because... Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, bills have gone up ridiculously. I mean, gas and electric bills are up massively. Cost of food is up. Fuel is up. And it's worrying people, isn't it? And I just heard from just friends and family that are saying, oh, I'm not going to have the same sort of holiday this year I was planning. I'm going to go a little bit smaller on the holiday plan because I'm a little bit worried. It's just there's some fear out there, isn't it, at the moment? And yeah. I just wonder whether that's starting to have an impact on the car market. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it may do. I think if we're being honest, it probably has to at some point. You know, people, you know, what we've seen recently, certainly through lockdown, is a lot of these what you class as accidental savers that had money that they could go out and kind of like treat themselves to a car. Then you had the people that didn't want to go on public transport that wanted to get into a car, which was, again, great for the used car market. But I think you're right now with it. I mean, it's a real pinch as well. It's not, you know, it's not a subtle one. You know, everyone that we speak to, both at work and private, you know, people are worried, you know, really worried. And it's not necessarily just people that were, you know, tight on money before. You know, this is everyone. It's really having an impact. And I think, you know, a used car purchase is something that people will probably, you know, have to really think long and hard about. Whereas before it was just, you know, we save some money certainly through lockdown. Let's you know, let's get a car. And same with the holidays. You know, we've got a lot of people that would normally go, you know, abroad for holiday that we know that all of a sudden they're doing, you know, UK stays. To be fair, they're not that much cheaper though.
No, they're probably not.
You know, like your week in centre parks and things like that. But yeah, it's certainly worrying. You know, the price of fuel is, you know, it's crazy now. You know, that 5p a litre that came off didn't touch the sides really. And the energy bills, you know, and then we've got another one coming up in October. So yeah, we just changed our rates in April. So we kind of got a bit of a bad deal on our ones, but probably not as bad as they would be if we were trying to do it in October. So yeah.
I suppose on the flip side, we've still got this big problems with new car supply. I mean, I was talking to a very good friend of mine. He's thinking about deciding whether to go electric or whether to buy a mild hybrid. And we've been having a long discussion about it on WhatsApp over the last 24 hours. And he said, even the dealer he spoke to, just he was looking at a Corsa E, and the dealer that he spoke to said, this just gets you a position in the queue. It doesn't get you a delivery date.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's, you know, that's really, you'd think you could walk into a dealer and buy a Corsa, wouldn't you, tomorrow? But he's been quoted delivery times in, hopefully, he said, September. I mean, that's a long way off, isn't it?
Probably. On the optimistic side as well, I would say.
Yeah.
That seems quite good for a lot of car brands at the moment.
Absolutely. And I think you're right, you know, all the time that there are these constraints with the new car supply, certainly speaking with Darren recently and hearing him on your video last week, you know, we're really confident in the used car space. You know, I think I do think the prices will soften, and I think we'll probably tuck in it later anyway, but you know, I think they kind of have to soften. You know, you can't really grow 30% year on year and expect that to maintain or grow any further. So I think if you look at it year on year rather than month on month, the picture's still really positive. And I think that's what your buyers are really enjoying at the minute. So yeah, all the time that there's new car restrictions, which I just can't see being fixed anytime soon, like certainly not this year, you know, fully back to how they were with the semiconductor and now the wiring looms and things like that. So yeah, certainly, you know, if you had to pick an area of the market, I think used cars certainly the one.
Yeah, definitely. Right, should we crack on with it?
Yeah, I will explain how the car dealer quiz works. James Baggett and I have both chosen our five favourite stories that have appeared on Car Dealer this week, and we don't know what each other have chosen. We're going to take it in turns to reveal our stories, and we'll have a chat about each. At the end, James Bush has the final say on who is the winner. However, if you are listening on Spotify, you can also vote for who you think had the best stories at the end by swiping up on the screen. So as James has not been around for a very long time, I'm going to let him go first.
Whoa.
Give you a head start. Is,
what an honour. Thank you. I've got eight stories on my list today, as is tradition. And some of those are double stories, so it's probably 10. There's a lot of good stuff around this week, isn't there? So what shall I go with first? I think we've done used cars a little bit, so I'm going to park that for the moment. And I'm going to go to the American-owned dealer groups that have given updates on their first quarter this week. I'm going to use both the stories in one. I know that's cheating. But I'm going to start with Group One. They have got 77 dealerships in the UK. They operate under the Barron's brand in the UK, as well as many others. And their American owners have updated us, updated the stock market on their performance. They brought in £3 billion in the first 3 months, up 30% on the same period last year. Total gross profit for the group was £577 million. And of that, £82 million was generated by their UK dealerships. I mean, that is amazing, isn't it? I mean, that really is a staggering result. They've got some amazing brands, haven't they? Group One, they've got BMW, Mercedes, the Volkswagen Group products, Jaguar, Land Rover, Kia, Toyota, Ford, across the South Coast and the home counties. So they've got some really, really nice locations with really good brands. So have done incredibly well. And at the same time, Sytner owners, Penske Automotive updated investors on their performance. In the first quarter, they bought in £4.6 billion and they made $500 million in profit. $497 million, which equates to about £400 million. Not bad. Not bad performance. There are some massive numbers there. They obviously, we're comparing to a quarter in the UK, especially last year where dealers were closed. 2021 was the third lockdown. So obviously the numbers are going to be up. But still, very, very impressive. Both of the bosses of those dealer groups said how much they're looking forward to the rest of this year and think it's going to be another bumper one for them. And we're comparing, aren't we, to 2021, which was record numbers for most dealer groups that we've reported on. So it might be tough getting hold of stock, and it might be tough getting hold of new cars. But dealers are making a lot of money as a result.
Yeah, I think they're doing fantastic. I mean, the profit margin per car at the minute is exceptional. I think both of those groups, you just mentioned, Group One and Sytner, fantastic dealer groups, wealth of knowledge, wealth of history, and they just do things really well, and they've got, they put the customer number one, they deliver great cars. I would imagine when they're buying cars, they're, rightfully very fussy on the stock that they buy to make sure it's the right stock that can fulfill their customers' needs. So, yeah, I was delighted to read both those stories. They're both fantastic groups. And I think you're right, they're going to have a storming year.
One of the nice figures in the Group One results, which were buried far down in a lot of numbers, was the profit that they made on new cars and used cars in the UK. So new car profit was £3,000 a car, and used car profit was £1,500 a used car. But those margins were up 70%. Pretty wow. much, but across both of them, 70.8% for new cars, 69.2% for used cars. That's a massive leap, isn't it? Very impressive. And I think we're probably going to see more of the same. So that's my first dual story, Rebecca.
Dual story. I'm going to make my first story a bit of a dual story then. On something completely different. This was the news this week because Grant Shapps, the Transport Secretary, is trying to solve lots of problems. One of them being the problem that we are very short on cash, as we mentioned. So he's come up with a solution that would mean moving the MOT to every two years, which has obviously not been very well received by most
anyone.
Sensible people. Yeah. but as a side note, there was a story that he's talking about making the DVLA digital, which I think is probably a very good idea that I can't believe they've not done sooner.
No, it's sort of is, isn't it, in a lot of respects? I mean, yeah. A lot of the stuff is digital. It's only a bit, it's the paper V5s they need to get rid of.
Yeah, it amazes me that they were getting, 60,000 letters a day or something, he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the MOT thing, obviously that got kind of like pushed around during lockdown, which was, kind of understandable just about in lockdown, but because no one's using their car. But to even think about bringing that back for me is crazy. I think that it's really dangerous. You see, I know people have run MOT stations and they said the difference in one car between 12 months can be quite frightening sometimes. So the thought of people out on the road, not just for their safety, but everyone else that's driving alongside them, to have like a 24 month gap in between MOTs, just for me, it just spells potential disaster.
I thought it was interesting how this story came out because I sort of tracked it from the start. And what happened is it was mentioned in cabinet. So, that's a private meeting and was very quickly leaked out by some other ministers, which is the tried and tested way of gauging public opinion, isn't it? Let's leak that story and see what people think. Oh, they hate it again. It's when I spoke to Stuart James, who's the chief executive of the Independent Garage Association, the morning after this had happened, he was absolutely flabbergasted. He said this has come up four times in the last 15 years. He said that every single time they've come to the conclusion that it's detrimental to road safety. Well, that's not going to change, is it? I mean, his quote was probably the strongest one I've written for a long time. In our opinion, this plan is dangerous, unwanted and unreasonable, he said. And it just summed it up. I tweeted about it and every single response was negative.
The other part of this is obviously that, everyone's trying to support businesses coming out of lockdown, which is fantastic. What about all the people that have got ramps and ramps of MOT bays, they've hired, staff and machinery? You're going to literally cut their business in half probably even worse than that. You know, you can't really adjust for going down 50%. So, you know, some will probably cease altogether, which is just, you know, it just can't happen. We need to support all these businesses, and MOTs is a big part of it. So, yeah, hopefully that doesn't come through.
But on the other side, your point about the DVLA going digital, the government has actually been pretty successful putting some things that were paper-based digital, haven't they? Like the NHS app, for example, you know, that came out of nowhere and it actually works pretty well, doesn't it? And, you know, if you want to pay for your car tax, you know, I remember going into the post office and having to queue up at lunchtime with many other people on the first of the month. I mean, that was just ridiculous. The fact that you now get a reminder and you can do it all online is brilliant.
Private number plates in the past, you know, you had to take it to your local DVLA office. They sent it to Swansea, and then, you know, 6 weeks later, you might get a reply back saying that you missed a box and you have to go through the whole process again. I think it has to happen, doesn't it? And there's not too much left in that that's paper-based anymore. So hopefully they get that over the line.
An interesting cost-saving idea that someone post on Twitter when they were poo-pooing the idea of the MOTs, but they said what the government needs to do is reduce the tax on all these cheaper cars that are more polluting to try and keep people on the road in cars for longer and make it easier to buy cheaper cars. And I can't decide if I think that's a good idea or not.
Not sure. No comment. Right, shall I go with my next one?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with the story about Tesla boss Elon Musk spending £34.5 billion of his own money. Well, I say his own money, of money, to buy Twitter.
Have
you
heard of this, James? Is that a new story? I've not heard anything about this.
Have you not? Really?
It's a lot of money, isn't it? It's a lot of money. I mean, you know, to have that in your armory just to go out and buy, you know,
under the mattress.
Oh, unbelievable! Yeah, I mean, for me, it could go either way. You know, I think this whole like freedom of speech thing is great in principle, but you know, it needs to be regulated in some respect, surely. You know, I think one of the biggest things to me is if he can get rid of the anonymous part of it where people can go on, you know, crime, hate crime, racism, all the things, you know, like celebrities and footballers get. If there's a way that you can get rid of that and make everyone visible, I think it's fantastic. But you know, it's a lot of power for one person to have on a platform like that.
It's really thrown the spotlight on his finances, isn't it? Becca, you wrote a really interesting story this week about basically where's his money come from. And he's leveraged a lot of his stock, hasn't he, that he's got in Tesla. And I'm pretty sure that hasn't he got rights to buy a huge amount of Tesla stock at $70 or something? And it's currently trading at 10 times up or something.
The story from last night, it's come out this morning that he's sold £3.2 billion worth of Tesla stock. And it was like $700 or something a share. It seemed ridiculous. But he's cashed out what everyone was speculating, and everyone said, oh, he can't do that because it's going to throw the whole thing into like disarray. But they've already lost $125 billion off their balance sheet when he said he was going to buy Twitter.
It's true. But what I did like about Elon Musk is he obviously tweets about this a lot, and he's now deciding what he wants to fix next. I don't know if you've seen this.
Yes.
He was tweeting about how he wants to buy McDonald's to fix their ice cream machines. That is something I can get involved with, because the amount of times I've been for a McFlurry and the McFlurry machine is broken. I mean, there's nothing worse than getting in the drive-through queue only wanting a McFlurry, as has happened to me recently. And then they say, I'm sorry, it's broken. And you have to sit in the queue with all the other people just to get out again. So
can't believe it's a global problem. I just thought it was a UK thing that the McFlurry machine never worked.
I think the McFlurry is quite a big deal. I mean, my kids, you know, my kids will go from being like super excited for a trip to McDonald's to get like a McFlurry to literally like the world has come to an end when they say they've got nothing at all.
That's me.
Yeah, it's, you know, we go through there now, you know, with, you know, we're kind of covering our eyes, wondering what the response is going to be from the chaps behind the till when we ask for a McFlurry. And it's now got to the point where when you get one, you know, it's a really good day. You know, we really enjoy
it. It's a really good day.
It's
obviously the safe relon, isn't it? It's obviously the same. He obviously loves McFlurries as much as I do and the rest of the rest of the world, and he wants to fix it. So, Elon, please fix Twitter, not that needs fixing, and then fix McFlurries.
It's great to McDonald's. Yeah, yes, please.
That was quite a segue. Becca, over to you.
The only thing I want to add on that topic is, why does he want to buy Twitter? Why is he cashing out of his profitable business to buy something that's actually not very profitable?
No idea.
No, I don't think anyone has any idea.
We'll be right back. You want the best return from your advertising budget, and CarGurus Piston Heads are focused on the same goal. With them, you have access to millions of monthly shoppers across both sites. Connect with in-market, high-quality buyers today and turbocharge your digital forecourt. For more information, visit dealerpackages.cargurus.co.uk and schedule a demo with their team. That's dealerpackages.cargurus.co.uk and tell them we sent you. Now, let's get back to the quiz.
Back to cars. So I'm going to go for a story we've sort of touched on so far, but this is the Car Dealer Live that James Batchelor did with Darren Martin at CAF HPI about used car prices falling by more than 2% in April. Quite interesting after all the stories we've done about them constantly going up by 2% or more. But yeah, on average, that's around £370 per car. But yeah, I don't know what you guys think. Is this, like, we've sort of touched on it already, that it's got to happen eventually. But how much further are they going to go? Or
Before we come on to that, because I'd like to get James's opinion on that, one thing I just wanted to say about this is, this was obviously a video interview, and we post it on our social channels, and it's obviously on YouTube where people can comment. And I'm looking at all of the other used car stories we did with videos we've done recently, including that special investigation we did. The comments that are on there about from consumers thinking that dealers are trying to scam them is ridiculous. The consumers don't seem to understand that it's a supply and demand market, and that the reason these prices have gone up is not because there's this massive cartel deciding that they want to push the prices up. It is just normal economics. It's just market dynamics that are pushing the prices up. But that hasn't seemed to filter through to consumers, has it? It's the comments on there are pretty harsh.
I think you're right.
Don't know how you can tackle that.
It got communicated really strongly, obviously, when prices were going up on the consumer side. You know, everyone was being told the car's worth a fortune. You know, now is the best time to sell. Doesn't seem to have gone the other way as prices have softened, that they've been educated just so that they're aware of what is actually happening, because then it's, like you said, the car dealer has to front that. They look like their prices, you know, are too high. But in fact, you know, the market's coming down, so they need to kind of like cascade that through to the public so that they're aware, you know, of what's going on in the market. And I just don't feel like it's been communicated as strongly as we come out of that. And I think one big thing for us in terms of, obviously, we've got a two-sided marketplace. We've got, you know, our customers who are sellers and our customers who are dealers. One of the biggest things for us is making sure that our sellers are aware of everything that goes into a car dealer's kind of preparation and costs of selling a car. So they may see, for example, the car they sold for £4,000 up for sale for £6,000. You know, that's not £2,000 profit for a car dealer, obviously. But, you know, that's what they see. So trying to educate people in terms of, you know, transport costs, you know, prep costs, advertising, even, you know, VAT margin and things like that. But that's really important so that people are aware that these dealers are great and they're doing a great job. And they're not trying to fleece people. They're just trying to make a living and what is in a reasonable amount.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't think consumers understand that. They just see the markup of £2,000 on that car they sold for £4,000 and think that dealer's having it away, and it's just not the case.
It's funny. It's like the whole finance thing about dealers are ripping off customers. So, like, get your claims in and stuff. But actually, that money that a car dealer's making from a finance commission is money that a customer probably isn't paying for that car, because they're not making the money out of that deal, and just consumers don't seem to be able to see it that way, that car dealers aren't doing a public service. They do need to make money.
Can I stick on used cars for my topic? Thank you very much. So my next story is going to be about the top 10 used cars that take the longest time to sell. Probably unfairly dubbed, as you pointed out this morning, the unsellables in my video and story. But who doesn't like a sensationalist headline? Anyway, we spoke to eBay Motors Group for this. They've assessed all cars that had a minimum of 1,000 adverts on their websites over the last year from March to March. And they've looked at the cars and come up with a list for the ones that have taken the longest time to sell. Top of that list, a SsangYong Tivoli, 74.9 days. And just for comparison, the best-selling car, can you guess what the best-selling car was, if you haven't read it?
I could guess.
Fastest-selling. Have a guess.
I did read the story earlier, so I feel like it'd be unfair for me to...
Oh, well, that would be unfair. Well, if you play it along at home, it's the Alfa Romeo Stelvio, which took 23.9 days to sell, so in comparison. Interesting list of cars, that, of the slowest ones. SsangYong Tivoli top, Nissan Elgrand second. Mm. I couldn't believe that there was over 1,000 adverts for Nissan Elgrands in the UK in a year, but there is. Third place, another SsangYong, the Corando, and then in fourth, an Audi e-tron, which I was surprised about.
Yeah. Really surprised at the Audi. To be fair, I think it's a great car. You know, it's I was really shocked to see that in your list. I think either in the video or the text, it mentioned about the price, potentially, 65K. Yeah. Really. It's a great car. You know, the e-tron, the Q4, I think Audi have got some fantastic models out at the minute. So, yeah, I was quite surprised to see that one. Also, the Mercedes, the SL, at nearly like 7 days. You know, again, we would class that probably go into like our accidental savers that have been buying from us quite a lot of those kind of cars and enjoying it. Maybe that will change as we come into like the summertime, possibly.
The other two that surprised me on there, James, was the Seat Mii enjoying 7th place and the Skoda Citigo in 10th. I just thought those sorts of small cars were really in high demand. But
yeah, I mean, Citigo, we've had great results in Citigo, to be fair. Yeah, I was quite surprised. I think that was that 50, mid-50s, was it? Something like that.
Yeah, 55 days in stock, yeah.
So, you know, some of them, not surprised at all, to be fair. But, yeah.
Well, you mean you mean your favourite searches is not for the Suzuki SX4?
It hasn't been, no, but certainly for the Nissan. I mean, that just seeing a copy of it, I mean, you've got a great picture of that in black with the skyline and everything, you know. Definitely speak to the wife later about whether we should upgrade one of those in the future.
Oh,
I mean, it'd be great for going for a drive through for your McFlurry, that's for sure.
We can stock up. If they've got them in stock, we could buy more.
There's probably enough cup holders. Yeah. Are there any trends of things at the moment that people are particularly buying from you, James, talking about used cars?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it mirrors similar to what Darren was talking about before. So if you're looking in terms of like, prices, then certainly that zero to 5K is golden stock. You know, it's fantastic. Haven't slowed down at all. Mm. 5 to 10K again is really strong. And also the 10 to 15, I think after that gets a little bit sticky. You have 15 to probably 30,000. But what we have seen is the top end absolutely flying. You know, we've got some incredible high-end, car dealers in our network. And you just see the results of, Tom Hartley and people like that recently. You know, that is one segment of the market, which is not necessarily huge, but very important. And it seems to be doing really, really well. So, yeah, we've definitely seen that. I mean, EVs are obviously doing really well. You know, we take a real interest in EVs. You know, we are, we're concerned about global impact and, carbon footprints and stuff like that. And obviously we're in a world of, selling, cars. So, we're really trying to get behind the whole EV side of it at the minute. And we've seen certainly the Tesla and Nissans and the Volkswagen, to be fair, on the EV side have done really well. But our main brands in terms of like popularity, probably Ford, Volkswagen and Audi, I would say, is our top three. But we've got others in there like BMW and Mercedes and Vauxhall, to be fair, that are doing really well at the minute. So I think it's more in the price brackets that you've definitely seen those trends. And to be fair, we've got such a good bunch of dealers now that, like I said earlier, we've got that two-sided marketplace. So, you know, if the prices are too high, then what you're doing is you're pleasing the sellers, which is great for one half of our customer base, but then you're not pleasing the dealers, which is, you know, a very important part of our customer base. So it's always about trying to get the prices so that basically everyone wins. You know, we want people to walk away from every deal really happy that they got a great price for their car, that the whole process was really easy, but then the dealers have got fantastic, unique stock that they can then retail and make good margin on.
Shall I do my, is it my go?
Yeah, I think it is your go.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go for something completely different again, which is the news that Volvo has invested in CarWow, which was, I thought was quite an,
I said, oh, yes.
Oh, I just thought it was quite an interesting story because I think this was an exclusive that the Financial Times had where they spoke to Volvo and they basically said, we're not really in it to try and push dealers out of the market. They want to learn from CarWow and their superior video and social media skills. But again, it's a, according to the report, it probably wasn't a very big amount for Volvo, probably around £10 million or something. But it's still an interesting thing that we're seeing more manufacturers investing in platforms like this, and suggests that they're kind of interested in building slightly more sustainable systems like that. So I don't know what you two think about it.
I mean, I agree. You know, I think, you know, the opportunity that exists now in the used car market as we kind of shift to online sales, for me, is no surprise. You know, I think that, you know, people like Volvo getting involved in this space, you know, I think it shows that, you know, it really is digital, you know, this part of the market as we grow through used cars and through digital. And I think we'll probably see more kind of like traditional car brands, you know, looking at how they can kind of like learn from what online brands are doing in this space. So, you know, I think, yeah, for me, you know, no great surprises there. And I think it'll be one of many more stories that you guys will cover in the future.
James?
Shall I go with my next one?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Hello.
I was going to say, you sound like you're on a bit of a delay
back
there.
In the world.
Yeah, do you go for your next one?
Can I go with my next one?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to. It's like you're talking to me when I'm in Australia or something. I'm not. I'm in Gosport. I am going to go with the story about, I can't believe you haven't picked this one yet, the car dealer that was caught by police.
I knew you were going to do this next. This is on my list.
This is just brilliant. Well, it's not brilliant, but it is brilliant. Car dealer caught by police driving a customer's car, which was a 108, Peugeot 108, at 106 miles an hour, which is the top speed of that car. I like the fact he was obviously late, wasn't he? And he was having to max it out. But the tweet from the police has named and shamed him as Dave the car dealer. Do we know who Dave the car dealer is?
No.
No, we don't. No. Dave the car dealer, if you're listening, well done for getting 106 mile an hour from a Peugeot 108, but very
it's
naughty
incredible,
as well.
Isn't it? I think we're going to see the sales of Peugeot 108s rocket. Because, you know, this is a whole new area for them to like, get into. I mean, this must have been like downhill, you know, big gust of wind, you know, behind it. But yeah, I mean, I was just glad it was nothing to do with, you know, any of our cars or the living. So, but yeah, I mean, that's some feat from a little Peugeot. So,
yeah, very, very, very naughty. Please don't do that. Please don't do that, car dealer. But very good story, Rebecca.
Thank you. Yeah, there was a lot of comments online about people who were disappointed you didn't manage to get it to 108. But it's just not capable of it. No. That was you chose my last story, so I've done all my stories now.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Well, it's probably not fair if I pick another one then, is it? So we'll just, let's call it a day there and let James be the judge.
Okay.
Love that. I actually found one. Can I bring one up?
Yeah, of course you can.
My allowance is like just... to shout that one. So this was a story by Jack, but it was with regards to Virtue Mercedes stepping in to help the charity. So their charity van went up in flames, and Virtue stepped in and basically donated them an amazing looking new van for them, you know, charity, so they can keep doing all the great work that they are currently. So Yeah, I spotted that a few days ago, and I thought it was a really nice touch from a great group.
Yeah, definitely. That is a nice story.
So, I just wanted to cover that one.
Yeah, any others that caught your eye?
And the only other one for me, really, because I'm quite into my kind of like Toyotas, to be fair. And the story that, I don't know who wrote this one, but it was about the new Toyota GR86 selling out in like an hour and a half, I think.
Mm.
Because, yeah, I mean, the GT, so I'm really into my Supras, like the old kind of like style Supras, but the GT86 didn't get me kind of like as excited as I thought it would, although it was a great car to drive. This one seems to just hit the ground running from launch. So I think Toyota doing some great stuff, obviously with the Yaris, you know, that's been probably one of our most popular cars actually at the minute. And again, selling probably more than the new price, which is in and for certainly the circuit pack and the Yaris. But this looks great, you know, so hopefully they've uncovered another really, really good car. You know, they've got some very loyal fans in the space. So the news of that coming out was great, coupled with, I read somewhere yesterday about the new Supra Mark V coming out as a manual.
Yes.
Which is really exciting. So hopefully that'll be received well as well. So there were just a couple that I spotted. So thanks for letting me share.
Good stories. So who do you think had the best stories this week then?
Oh gosh. you know what? I'm gonna pick James on his return back. To be fair, I thought the top 10 longest cars to sell was great. It was a great piece together with the video as well. And really interesting, like I said, it uncovered, you know, quite a few surprises. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that. But loved your stories as well, Rebecca. So.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that, to be fair, because this morning I took the piss out of James for the name and he then lost all confidence in it. So thank you for giving it back to him.
Yeah, thank you.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you both. Thank you, James, for judging today. And thank you, James, for coming back to compete. And thank you to all of you for listening. We will be back again next week for another podcast. So don't forget to subscribe and you'll be notified when a new episode goes live. And if you are listening on Spotify, don't forget to swipe up now and vote for your winner too. Thank you again. And until next week, goodbye.